Well, we are still in the book of Deuteronomy. Would you please open your copy of God's Word to Deuteronomy chapter 8? We'll be reading the entire chapter. We've already talked through the first 10 verses, but for context, I will be reading the entire chapter of Deuteronomy 8. I'm going to continue to refresh the first commandment. Remember, chapters 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11 are all an exposition of the first commandment, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." You should keep God first in everything. Put me first. Chapter 6 tells us how to do that, most simply, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The greatest commandment is to love God first and best. Deuteronomy 7, a beautiful passage, continues to talk about all the reasons why we should honor God first, and it's because He has chosen His people. They're precious to Him. And because we are precious people to Him, because He has loved us first, we are to respond in love and obedience as well. Not compromising with the world, destroying our idols. God has elected us to salvation and made us a treasured possession, and our response is obedience to His law. But now in Deuteronomy 8, we are called to remember the first 10 verses. Remember, remember, remember. And then the last 10 verses, don't forget, don't forget, don't forget. It's a chiasm of sorts. It builds to a point in verse 10, remembering all the blessings that are coming in the promised land, remembering His care in the wilderness, verses 2 through 5, remembering the promised land, all the blessings that are coming, verses 7 through 10. And then verses 11 through 14, don't forget, also in verse 17, don't forget the promised land. The blessings are coming, and don't forget God when you receive them. Don't forget the wilderness and all God has done, because ultimately, if you do forget, if you don't remember, there's going to be cursing. Covenant curses will come upon the people. So with that said, this is Deuteronomy chapter 8. Just remain seated for now, and I'll have you stand, please, toward the end of the chapter, just in honor of God's holy word. This is Deuteronomy chapter 8, the inspired word of God. "The whole commandment that I command you today shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that He might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. And He humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you know that every man, that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then, in your heart, that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in His ways and fearing Him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks and water, fountains and springs, flowing out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land He has given you." Can we pause here for a moment as you stand for the reading of these last 10 verses, please? This is God's word and the text for this evening. "Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments and rules and statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness, with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that He might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware, lest you say in your heart, 'My power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his commandment, his covenant, that he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. And if you forget the Lord your God, and go after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so shall you perish, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. Amen. Please be seated. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Let us pray. Almighty God, we do love your word. We love your law. Your spirit within us draws us to it. We do pray that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Lord, that you would change us, that you would convict us, encourage us, exhort us, rebuke us. Lord, let your spirit do his work, and may your word not return void. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this seems to be the kind of the driving theme of the nation of Israel, is blessings for obedience and God's curse for disobedience. Of course, God always preserved his remnants, and the curse was always meant, the punishment was always meant to bring God's people back. I find it interesting, if you go to the very last verse of the Old Testament, in Malachi, let me turn there myself. The day is coming, this is chapter 4. By the way, the Jewish scribes, the Masoretes, did not like how Malachi ended. So they added an encouraging verse at the end of it, which is in our scriptures as well. the Masorete text is reflected, I believe. But anyway, the last few verses. Behold, I will send Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. Okay, so that is not the Masorete edition. This is the way Malachi ends. Lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. That was a fearful way for the revelation of God to end, 400 years of nothing else. And that was the very last word spoken by God's prophets. A decree of utter destruction if they did not come to repentance, to pursue. There's hope for obedience, but then there's destruction for disobedience. Well, there are obvious lessons that we can learn from this particular text, and I hope to draw those out and also give you some general principles of application as well. The title of the sermon is simply, Don't Forget. Don't forget. There's five things that I think we clearly see in the text that we should not forget. We should not forget to obey. We should not forget God in the midst of blessing. We should not forget all of his mercies, his past mercies. And we should not forget that he is the source of all good things, of all blessing. Don't forget to obey. Don't forget God and blessing. Don't forget his past mercies. And don't forget who the source is of all our blessing. By not forgetting, the opposite of that is obedience. Obedience. That's verse 11. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God. How? By not keeping his commandments, his rules, and his statutes. The people are to remember all that God has done for them, that he redeemed them, he called them to himself, he has promised them an inheritance. And most of all, the biggest reason that we obey the commandments of God is that they're given by God. He's Almighty God. And in light of all that and his selection of us to be his own children, his own people, we obey him because we love him. So verse 11 begins with an admonition not to forget, in light of all that, not to forget to obey. Don't forget to obey. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments. So you see, not obeying God is forgetting God, His commandments, His rules, His statutes, which I command you today. Let's just look at this verse 11 in greater detail. He says, take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments. The interesting thing is the word translated take care is the exact same Hebrew word translated keep. There's a play on words going here. It could be take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not taking care to keep His commandments. Or it could also be translated something like guard yourself lest you forget the Lord your God by not guarding His commandments. Moses is saying you have to guard one thing or the other. Guard the Lord God, guard His commandments in your hearts. Take care. Keep His commandments. And you, take care lest you forget the Lord your God, which I command you this day. This you is the second person singular. This is you personally. This is not y'all, it's you. He's speaking to the individual Israelites. Moses is giving them a personal command. And even further, to highlight the fact that our obedience is expected, commandments, rules, and statutes, that's expansive. That's saying everything that I've told you in Deuteronomy, everything that I've told you up to this point. Yes, the Ten Commandments, absolutely. But God expects His people to be perfect, to obey His law, His rules, His statutes. Certainly we cannot be perfect, but the standard is obedience. Every jot and tittle of the law. And this warning is to be heeded when? Today, which I commanded you today. There's an imperative nature of this command. It's to be heeded now for each member of the covenant community personally, so they would hear this word from Moses being spoken directly to them. You, today, Moses is preaching a sermon to them. Today, don't forget God. Don't disobey God's commandments. And not forgetting God is, for us, I believe, you know, we use the word forget, like, did you pick up the groceries that I asked you? Oh, I forgot. This is not the kind of forgetting we're talking about. It's not just not remembering something in your mind. This is not an oops, I forgot moment. This is a disobedience that implies a forgetting of God. You can still remember facts about God and disobey Him, right? That would be forgetting God, even though you know things about Him. You can know details about God and still forget God. You can know the gospel and still forget God by disobeying His law. When you defiantly sin against God's commands, you're forgetting God. In what sense are you forgetting Him? Well, He's the infinite, eternal, and unchangeable one. He dwells in heaven on high. He knows everything. He knows every thought, word, and deed in your heart you've ever done or will do. He's everywhere. So when you deliberately sin, well, when you sin at all, but when you deliberately sin for sure, you're acting as if God doesn't exist. You're acting as if you're an atheist. A practical atheist is what's happening in your life in that moment. He can't see me. It doesn't really matter. And this is evil. This is forgetting God. He sees everything. He's always present with everyone. This is one of the ways I encourage men who are struggling with besetting sins or pornography or things like that. It's just a reminder. When you are tempted in those bad ways, remember, Christ is with you. He's with you. He's looking at what you're looking at. It should encourage you to stop. He sees all things, and He's always with us. He sees your thoughts. When you have bad thought patterns and you begin working down a bad road, you know that it's wrong to be thinking in this way about this person or these things. He sees it, so stop. He sees your thoughts, your secret thoughts, your shameful deeds. He sees every word that you utter under your breath. He hears it all, sees it all. And we are not to forget God. Well, that's verse 10, especially in times of blessing. He begins expounding from verse 10 in all the ways that we could forget Him. Again, remember in the first half of the chapter, He said, remember, remember, remember. All these good things God has done, so remember Him. Now He says, don't forget. Don't forget. And these are all the ways that you could forget. So don't forget. Take care. Take care, lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, which I've commanded you this day. Lest when you have eaten, this is don't forget in times of blessing, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built houses and live in them and your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, don't forget. You're to take care and not forget God when life is good. In America, for the vast majority of us anyway, life is good. Yes, we have struggles, we have hardships, we have difficulties. But compared to the church throughout the history of the church, throughout the history of God's people, life is good. Previously, remember that God had reminded the people of his discipline and his care in the wilderness in this chapter. Now he points them again to the blessings which he's ordained for them in the promised land, but not as a motivation to their obedience. This time it's as a warning. He's like, this blessing is coming. Be careful. Be careful. Verse 14, then your heart might be lifted up. Then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God. Verse 17, beware lest you say in your heart, my power and my might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. God warns his people that the great blessing he has for them could cause them to lift up their hearts in a bad way. You remember when you were children and you had a birthday party? Brings out the worst in a kid, doesn't it? Sometimes. Mason and Kate, you remember your birthday party? You got presents. You open up your presents. You open up the box and you get your toy. And you become very selfish all of a sudden. You think you actually deserve these good things. When God has given us so many good things, to pridefully think that we deserve them or that we've gotten them apart from God in some way, to act as if our own efforts are the primary factor of our blessings, get human ability kind of dominating our outcomes in our minds, we think that we've done it. We deserve it. He says, be careful. Be careful. In blessing, be careful. Well, we're also not to forget him when we think of all of the mercies he's shown us in the past. Again, in verse 14, when the blessings come and our hearts are lifted up and we forget the Lord our God who brought us out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. So that phrase, too, should remind us of our own slavery to sin and God's salvation. So the baseline for our thankfulness is always the salvation that he's given us, the redemption that he's brought us to. That's what Moses is saying. Don't forget that you were brought out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He's led you through the great and terrifying wilderness. So the remembrance of all that he's done in the past should be front and center in our hearts, and this should help us in our obedience. He led you through the great and terrifying wilderness, verse 15, with its fiery serpents and scorpions. A serpent is a snake, Mason. A serpent is a snake, and a scorpion, you know what a scorpion is. We don't like them. But the wilderness had fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. So all the difficulty of the wilderness was for their good, but God reminds his people of four wonderful blessings in the wilderness, which should inspire their obedience. He redeemed them from slavery. He redeemed his people from slavery in Egypt. This is before he gave them the law. They were saved before they were commanded to obey. We're saved before we're commanded to obey. In this sense, led through the terrifying wilderness by fire and cloud, learning to trust God for all things every day, provided water from the rock, fed you with manna, which you did not know. This is just an account of provision in the wilderness that's a reminder of God's discipline. God did not shrink from disciplining his people. The wilderness wasn't a walk in the park. These people were in a hostile place. The hostile sun in the desert, the snakes. Snakes were actually sent as judgment for their idolatry. Scorpions and thirst and hunger. And yet the ultimate goal of this discipline was that the people would know and love God first and best and trust him. And Moses is saying, remember all that. Remember those lessons so that when you're in the blessing, you don't forget God. We also need to remember the blessings of God. We need to remember all the blessings, all the answered prayers, all the blessings that we have right now, our own salvation, our own redemption. We need to rely on God in all of our lives, above all things. So don't forget to obey. Don't forget in times of future blessing. Don't forget all of His past mercies. And don't forget, number four, the source of all blessing. The source of all blessing is God. Verse 17, beware lest you say in your heart, my power, the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. This is a warning of forgetting God and sinning, but it's also forgetting God and presuming to have brought the blessing by your own efforts. And this probably isn't just a willful thing that's happened in their minds. This probably creeps in life as you get comfortable. It's a presumption, and certainly there's a great danger in presumption for them and for us, presuming to have the power, we think, of life and death, or presuming that the blessings and the curses, the sickness and the health is really all in our own hands. Just think, it would be a gross sin, wouldn't it, for any member of the Israelite community at that time to enter the promised land, to move into these houses, these wonderful vineyards in their yards. God had brought them there, and God has already articulated many times their deliverance from Egypt, their protection in the wilderness, the loving discipline that they received as father to a son, the bread from heaven, the water from the rock, the law of God given on the mountain, His own presence leading and guiding with cloud by day and fire by night, and all the defeat of their enemies, even the stopping of the sun in the sky during a battle, and then to come into the land of milk and honey with houses you didn't build, with vineyards you didn't plant, wells you didn't dig, fields you didn't sow. And after all that, in all of that blessing and all that rest and peace, enjoying all the fruits of these gifts and all of His provision in every detail of their lives, for them to then think that they did it. They created the wealth. They were responsible for the blessing. That would be a grave sin indeed. God gives the blessing. God gives the wealth. Verse 18, you shall remember the Lord your God, Yahweh your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth. All they have is from the hand of God. It's from a gift from God Almighty. And for us, even our own hard work, yes, it's expected. We are called to work hard. And it's only fruitful by the hand of God. He gives the power to give wealth. He's the one who blesses the work of your hands. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. James 1:17. He's the one who brings all blessing to all mankind. He even gives a measure of common grace blessing to heathens who hate Him, of course. We see this. They have families, they have children, they have some level of happiness. They're able to sustain themselves. Why? Because God is gracious, even to those who hate Him. Such is His bounty and grace, that even they can work hard and see some measure of blessing. Of course, work is a creation ordinance. All mankind is called to work. And God is so wise and so gracious and kind. He makes His sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. So we are to love our enemies as well. So in light of all of that, for any one of us to raise up our heads and claim responsibility for any of our health or wealth or any prosperity or blessing is a great evil. We are called to work hard, and we expect God to bless hard work and to forsake the lazy. But we also acknowledge that it's all ultimately from God, and whatever He does is good. Whatever you have is from the Lord. This is one of the reasons why we are called to really give everything to God in our hearts. We hold on to all things loosely. You hold on to your family loosely. You hold on to your wealth loosely, your possessions loosely. Yes, we desire to protect our property, and all of those things are good. But ultimately, if God takes them, He takes them. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We hold it loosely in our hearts. Otherwise, it's idolatry. So we're to remember and not forget the source of all of our blessing is God. And also realize that this is part of a covenant. He confirms the covenant that he swore to the fathers in the same verse, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. Again, this day, the covenant people of God are receiving a special remembrance of the covenant made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They have been called by him. They have been held as a child in his hand. And all manner of blessings flow out to them because of their unity with the covenant family of God. Now we know it's because of their union with Christ for all those who were truly saved in that community, the Joshuas and the Moseses of their community. Their blessing all came from God. It wasn't blessings of wealth and health and freedom and ease and comfort at all times either, was it? But they were the precious people of God. And they received the most important blessing, the blessing of eternal life in their Redeemer, in Jesus Christ, the blessing of an eternal inheritance. And this begins when you put your faith in Christ. In that moment, you become His covenant people, His elect possession, His chosen precious possession. He's reminding the people in Israel that they were chosen by God. Many of them displeased Him, but they were chosen by God because of a promise He made to Abraham, and they were blessed. We also have the covenant blessing because of Jesus Christ today. We are special because of Christ. May these words encourage you. Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." These are promises for the people whom God has chosen to be His own possession. Isaiah 43, verse 4, "You are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you." 1 John 3:1, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are." You see, it's out of this realization that every blessing flows to His people. It's because of Christ. Isaiah 49:16, "Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands." John 10:29, "My Father who has given you to me is given them to me is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." If you have faith in Christ, you need to remember every blessing comes from God, and you are precious to Him, a precious possession. You are not to forget that everything you have is from God. It's a blessing from God to even be in His family. If God had not saved you, regenerated your heart, and brought you to faith and salvation in Christ, you would still be in the darkness, dead in your sins and trespasses, an enemy of God. We should not forget the Lord our God. Let's conclude by looking at verses 19 and 20. "If you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Like the nations the Lord makes to perish before you, so shall you perish because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God." This is a covenant curse. We'll see later in the book of Deuteronomy a full listing of curses that will come upon the people if they forget God. Dr. Kelly writes, "We don't hear much preaching about the curses of the covenant. Why is that? They're intertwined throughout all of the Old and New Testament. I believe it is because much of modern Christianity wants a God who is not really holy, who is indulgent of every kind of sin, and is actually honor-bound to save every person who's ever lived at the end of their lives. But that's not the God of the Bible. The reality is that covenant blessings and curses are central to our understanding of relationship between God and His people. We were under the curse, but Christ took the curse for us on the tree. And apart from Christ, people remain under the curse. But this is a specific temporal curse, a blessing that was pronounced for Israel. There are principles that apply for us as well. But Deuteronomy 11, 26 through 28 talks of it the same. See, I'm setting before you today blessing and curse. Blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today. And a curse if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way I'm commanding you today to go after other gods that you have not known. Well, does that apply to us today? Absolutely. If you go after other gods which you have not known, it just shows that your heart was never regenerate in the first place. You're under the curse. But remember, the context of this chapter is Moses talking to the people of Israel, and he's saying, you shall have no other gods before me, before God. Put me first in life, and this is key. Remember who has saved you. He has provided for you. He loves you. And when you fail, when you forget God, he will discipline you. But do not forget God, because why? He will not be mocked. Galatians 6, a man will reap what he sows. This has always been the case. If you sow to your flesh, from the flesh you'll reap corruption. God knows where you're sowing. If you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap eternal life. The worst kind of punishment is reserved for those who forget God and go after other gods and worship them. This is the book of Hebrews in a nutshell, isn't it? It's don't give up. People who give up and walk after other gods, who've tasted the heavenly gift, who've been in church, who've heard the gospel, and then walk away from it. It'd be better if they'd never heard it. The covenant curses are horrible for those who rebel against God, who know him and rebel against him, who forget him. Eventually, Israel was sent into exile. All the covenant curses of Deuteronomy, the end of Deuteronomy, were put upon the nation of Israel, sent into exile to Assyria, to Babylon. And yet God preserved his remnant, of course. The promises were not null and void because of the discipline of God. He preserved his remnants. They called upon him, and he restored them, and eventually heard their prayers and brought their Messiah, whom they eventually rejected as well. So people of God, don't forget the Lord your God. Obey him. In blessing, in times of blessing, don't forget. Don't forget his past mercies, and don't forget that he's the source of all blessing. Because in any situation, when people repent and turn to God, his response is the same. He will forgive them and restore them. Remember, the curse was taken by Christ. Christ is the curse breaker. Anyone can come to Christ and put faith in Christ, and the curse is broken. The blessings of God, the blessings of Deuteronomy are yours. Look at all the evil in our country. I just want to close with this bit of application. We lament the evil that we see in our land. We lament the rejection of all the ordinances of God, the creation ordinances of Sabbath and work and marriage, all completely flipped on their heads. Of course, the Sabbath was rejected long ago. Sunday's about work and play for almost everyone in our country. Work, the value of work, the importance of labor seems to be flipped on its head with our country's fiscal policies, the great debts, $35 trillion, I think, last I saw, which, of course, increases our inflation. The value of our labor decreases. It's stealing the value of our labor, the value of work. This crazy spending is almost spitting in the face of God and his creation ordinance. And certainly we see it in marriage with all of the gender confusion, the homosexuality, LGBTQ plus, etc., transgender, sex changes, abortion. Everything related to marriage has been turned upside down. And we think, wow, God has it in for us. We've rejected God. We've rejected him, and certainly we've probably seen some divine response calling us back to himself as a church. 9-1-1, just in my lifetime. The constant warfare of the past 30 years. The seemingly increasing corruption in our governments. Degenerate entertainment and music. COVID. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Certainly it's speaking of Israel, but the principle applies to all of us. It's the church of God that's to pray. The church of God is called to humble themselves, to seek after God. You see, the evil in our country, the solutions are not political. There's not some social program that we're going to use to fix this. The answer is Jesus Christ and Him alone. There's no one leader who's going to save America. People were telling me, I don't want anyone killed, but oh, if Donald Trump had been killed, that would have been the end of our country. Excuse me, no. My king is not up for election. He rules and reigns on high, and he will use America however he will, with any man or woman. We've been blessed with immense gifts, blessed by God. Most of your ancestors are probably like mine. My ancestors started coming in 1618 to about 1800. They were all poor. They came with their Bibles. The Scottish ones probably came with their catechisms and a lot of hard work and dreams. And God blessed it. They trusted God. He blessed our country. And we haven't heeded the warnings. We think our blessing now is because of our Constitution or our forefathers were so great or our grit and determination or the American spirit or whatever. It was all a gift from God. He blessed this land because of the church of God. And we've largely forgotten Him. So the message for the church, I believe, is the same. Do not forget God. Look at Sodom and Gomorrah. It was a pagan city, pagan cities full of pagan people, like our country. What did God tell Abraham? If there's only 10 people there, I won't destroy it. We have more than 10 people in this room who love God. There's hope for our country. We need to turn to God. Look at Nineveh. God had pity on this whole land that didn't even know Him. He sent one prophet to preach good news, and they repented. We need to remember God. Not be discouraged, but have hope. Remember God. He's doing a great work. If it means the end of our country and the beginning of a new country or the end of every country in the world, whatever, God is at work. We need to remember God. Don't forget. I'm going to close with this poem. It's a Rudyard Kipling poem. I love poetry. Sorry, you're going to have to listen to this one. It was Queen Victoria's 60th anniversary of her reign, and she asked Rudyard Kipling to write a poem commemorating this day, and his poem actually caused a lot of ripples in culture because it wasn't what they expected. It wasn't this grand celebration. No, the theme of the poem was "Don't Forget." I think it's an apt closing to the sermon. God of our fathers, known of old, Lord of our far-flung battle line, beneath whose awful hand we hold dominion over palm and pine. Lord God of hosts, be with us yet, lest we forget, lest we forget. The tumult and the shouting dies, the captains and the kings depart, still stands thine ancient sacrifice, a humble and contrite heart. Lord God of hosts, be with us yet, lest we forget, lest we forget. Far called, our navies melt away, on dune and headland sinks the fire. Lo, all our pomp of yesterday is one with Nineveh and Tyre. Judge of the nations, spare us yet, lest we forget, lest we forget. If, drunk with the sight of power, we lose wild tongues that have not thee in awe, such boastings as the Gentiles use, or lesser breeds without the law. Lord God of hosts, be with us yet, lest we forget, lest we forget. For heathen heart that puts her trust in reeking tube and iron shard, all valiant dust that builds on dust, and guarding calls not thee to guard. For frantic boast and foolish word, thy mercy on thy people, Lord. Lord, have mercy upon us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we come to you this evening, and we thank you that you have not forgotten us, your people. We are the people of your pasture and the sheep of your hand, and we do live in a dark and pagan place in many ways. We pray that you would not forget us. Lord, as you preserve Sodom and Gomorrah for the sake of, or would have for the sake of 10, we pray that you preserve our country for the sake of your church. Lord, that you would not give us the situations and the leaders that we deserve, but you would give us those situations and leaders which would further the work of your church around the world. Lord, let us not despair when we see the brokenness of our world. Lord, let us be humbled. Let us come to you with humble and contrite hearts. Let us never forget all of your glories in the previous years of our lives and of our country. Let us not forget all of the ways that you have blessed us. Lord, let us take the lessons of the Israelites and apply them to our own lives, to always remember your blessing and your sacrifice, to always remember that all goodness comes from you, that you are the source of every good thing. You are also ordaining everything that happens for your own glory. So, Lord, we have nothing but hope and great expectation. Lord, we pray that you would help us not to forget. Help our country not to forget. Lord, bring revival upon this dark land. Out of darkness, bring light. May your gospel go over all the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, would you please stand and sing our last closing hymn? This is number 506. We'll sing the last verse.